Welcome back, Rhetoric Warriors Podcast. Complicated times out there require some sophisticated techniques. Get rid of those basics because they're not going to cut it anymore. We need to ramp up our skill level with the way we talk. I'm Dr. Dan, rhetorician, comedian, founder of Rhetoric Warriors, founder of the new, and it's launching in 2023, Ethical Persuasion Institute right here in California. It's going to clean up all of this. Just for you people. Here on the podcast, I do a few things. I talk to comedians. Although I think I'm going to run that off and do a new podcast at some point. But it's kind of fun to talk to them about their politics. I talk to the right because I believe they need to be yanked back into the democratic civil process. And then I also talk to persuasion professionals who are trying to do things out in the world with their version of persuasion, and more rhetoricians on this podcast than any other podcast you're going to hear today. That's my claim. Today, I do these with a few people that I kind of have on over and over again. And this guy and I have been working together for almost 5 years, and it's time to bring him in for you guys to meet sort of the big brain back behind 500 Rockets. He has a longtime background in the business, decade in high-tech sales, and now probably double that in digital marketing, special emphasis in SEO and software development. CEO of 500 Rockets, and he's his own thing, the bare knuckler, Matt Prochet.
Wow, fantastic. Thank you, Dan. Happy to be here. Really excited to talk to you.
The bare knuckler. We're starting with that.
I know, you brought it out. I didn't think you were going to bring that out. You know, that was a nickname you gave me a little while ago, and it stuck. It works. It's true.
Well, what fascinates me about you is that you have this big background in business. You know how to talk business. Even all the way back to your dad and, you know, his experience running a company. So you're really steeped in that, but you still got an authenticity and a directness and an honestness that you can't suppress.
I cannot. And I do have a rule that you either hire or fire me. It's just let me know, you know, it's no problem either way. And that really stems from the idea of truth and like, hey, we've got to look at this problem together. And when we either both no longer agree that we're looking at the same thing, or you know, we need to go a different direction, or it's just not going to work out.
Well, that's the ultimate morality, really, is I'm going to tell you the best truth I've got. I'm not going to water it and dilute it. I'm not going to be cruel. I'm not talking about being just unnecessarily brutal with people, but we're hiring you for the right answer.
Right. It has come off as cruel. And at those times, I've had to apologize, and I've deeply apologized. And we're just really talking about getting into a ring with one another and fighting the idea out. And like, either, you know, sometimes we're on the same team, sometimes we're fighting against each other, sometimes because we're all trying to fight for the right idea to move forward. There's lots of ambiguity. And ultimately in business, it comes down to risk, and it comes down to tolerance, and it comes down to being able to make, you know, predict the value. And most people are really bad at that. I am really bad at that. I can tell you
the right answer dominates, right?
It does, but just because it's the right answer doesn't mean it's correct, you know? I mean, sometimes you're making judgment calls.
Be careful about bouncing your table a little bit. You're bouncing your camera with your arm.
I won't do that. You know, sometimes, like, I'll give you an example. Like when we build software, I have a dream of making $100 million one day. And, seems like the right number. So I try and build software. And one of my strategies comes from a lot of the business people I've spoken to in the past. And one guy I talked to was like the king of retail. He just like he didn't care what he was selling. He was like, I'm going to put this bird feeder into Walmart. That's going to be my like goal. And he would do that. And the way that he would do that is he would take 10 products around every year. And he would try and get one product in. And I was like, oh, the 10-to-1 strategy. And I was like, oh, that's really good. So for me, I'm trying to build 10 software products, and I'm trying to get one of them to like go wide.
Well, and I think that's one of the strategies. One of the reasons why I've always liked working with you is that you're agnostic really about strategy and tactics or whatever. You're like, well, what will work here? And one of your strong strategies that you go back to again and again is quantity is a master answer. Like if you're going to try to get something, instead of saying, hey, moonshot, we know this is the right thing, we'll put all our resources right here, and then missing. That was the original thing for 500 Rockets. 500 options, fire them all off cheaply, and then which ones work. So you've always used that strategy of quantity will get you to quality, will get you the right answer if you can get enough quantity.
Right. And there is an element of getting past your own ego with that strategy, right? Because you have to accept that 90, 95% of the time you're going to fail miserably. And I have no problem with failure. I fail constantly. And to the point where I really sometimes it's hard to get out of the bed because I failed so bad, you know? And to the point of like quantity being the answer, and to kind of tie up the last point, when we build software, we built these 10 ideas. I've put three ideas on a bulletin board and I've brought in 50, 60, 70 people to tell me which of the ideas are the best. Nobody could predict which of those three were going to work. And nobody can predict really out of all the assets and all the things that people create, nobody can tell you which one is going to be the most successful. They just suck at it. People suck at these things.
Well, and so they're abstract guesses. All of this, no matter what your expertise is, we just went through the midterm elections, and supposedly all this expertise about, oh, it's going to be a dominant win by the Republicans. And it turns out it was not that at all. And then you have these little minuscule, less listened to experts who pop up and go, oh, yeah, see, I had this model that was telling you this before. But it's all guesswork. And some people are better guessers than others, but it's still, there's no way to do marketing and prediction of behavior, prediction of whether your tactics and strategy are going to work until you actually take it through the process.
Right. And that process is expensive.
Right. So let's backtrack a little bit. I said with this, we're going to do a series of these, but this one is about, I think, kind of defining what is general marketing these days? Because you've been doing marketing now for, in one way or another, for 20, 25 years in business, right?
Yeah, I started out as a hardcore sales guy. Thought I was going to cut my teeth and make my living that way my whole life. And I got burnt out about 10 years in and pivoted to marketing. And I've been doing that for about 15, 20 years. Yeah.
So define marketing. I've got my definition. Just hit people with.
Oh, man. I mean, that's the work that you and I have done for the last 5 years is actually the reason why we got together, was because we wanted to re-theorize marketing and we wanted to really re-understand what was happening. Like, what is marketing? I don't know. It's an ass whooping is marketing. Like, that's the definition, right? It's yelling constantly out into a void where nobody is listening.
Well, right. I mean, ultimately, so when I break it down into its pure abstractions and remove it from business and just say, okay, well, what are we doing here? You're trying to get strangers out in the world to pay attention to your powerful, your best messaging in order to get them to think, feel, or do something.
That's very clinical. Yes.
I have to get messages to strangers to affect them.
Right. And like, I actually view sales as like a really inefficient form of marketing these days, right? Cold calling, we use it all the time. Still the best way. Hey, I've got you for 4 seconds. Let me say this sequence of words to you and see if I can pique your interest for another 10 seconds, right? And if I can take the first 5 seconds and I can get another 10 seconds, and then I can double that and get that to 20 seconds, well, I probably have some sort of value prop or some sort of thing that fits. And most of the time, you just get hung up on.
And that's totally what you're talking about when you say marketing is an ass whooping now. It's so much grind. There's so much competition for people's attention. There's so many messages that you cannot ignore the environment that you're marketing into. You've got to take that as the primary piece of information. And I find a lot of people still talk to their marketing as if they're just talking to somebody one-on-one, or if it's like, hey, you know, everybody's going to look at our message. No, nobody's going to look at your message unless it does something interesting or earns it or has quantity and repetition and saturation.
Yeah. I mean, but you know, quantity can be misapplied in a lot of ways. And quantity is interesting because when it's leveraged, like quantity in its purest form, if you're going to use it the most accurately, is a way to make a personal relationship, right? So I'm using quantity to kind of trick the system because I can say things so many different ways that eventually if you see that particular message that you feel connected to it and then you engage in a conversation.
Well, talk about that in the context of what we're working on right now with Progress Report and your variation of Silverhouse management software. We're building out emails with, there's probably 100 different strategies, sub-strategies, and tactics that we can run those on. So we're probably going to do 100, 150 variations of the messages.
Right. And I mean, just so that people kind of are educated as to what that means, like if you take out every single feature, if you, all of the ways that you talk about your product have a different topography to different people, right? So some people care about like notifications or being notified of something, or some people care about storage and database. And so they care about these features of like document management or these other things, or some people care about tracking and GPS or whatever your feature set is in your bowl of soup. Well, which one of those things are the most important? And if you narrow down the time frame to 5 seconds, like if I sit here for like 2 hours on this podcast and we actually were able to get some idiot to listen to us for that long, somebody would say, oh, that's a great software. Oh yeah, that's great. I should totally try that out. But that's not really fitting, don't you think?
Yeah, nobody chunks out 2 hours anymore unless it's some hyper product message like a sports or a movie or something that's so produced that it can hold them for an hour and a half.
But they still do that. They still do that. But if you look at the cost per minute, it's probably the same as the 5 second message. I just got an offer for $500 to go to Hawaii for a trip of four. They would pay for everything if I will go sit through a 3 hour sales pitch. Right. So for what they're banking on is that a certain percentage of those people are going to go buy that, timeshare or whatever they're trying to sell me in Hawaii. And if they get me there for 3 hours, that they can convince me that it's a good deal. But it's going to take them 3 hours to sell that product. Nowadays,
through this impervious Iron Man shell that you've got to their pitch.
That's right. And eventually they'll trigger you and say enough things and your family will be there and your kids will be there and they'll go over and talk to your kid about, don't you want to have memories with dad on the beach? Isn't that what you want? You know? And then you're sitting there and you're like, it's only $399 or whatever stupid product price they have. And that would probably be persuasive. Like, as you said, when we first met and it stuck with me, you could persuade anybody. Anybody can be persuaded, right? Put them into a jail in North Korea. I guarantee you, you're going to come out saying some things that you didn't think you would say, right? So there's, the trick.
Right. The human brain is built to be programmed and reprogrammed endlessly.
100%.
Whether you feel like you've got the strongest set of beliefs ever and you're impervious to any type of, invasive thoughts and feelings, you were not born believing the things that you believe.
Yeah.
It was all dumped in there. It has all changed over time and it will change again.
Will change again. And if you have enough stimuli to like get that thing to move in your head, we talk about getting through the limbic system. We talk about getting through the vetting and the mechanisms in the brain through your PhD in rhetoric. And obviously I changed the definition of all the things you tell me just slightly enough to make them wrong. But the point being, the trick is to, how do you build something and get it out in 5 seconds or less? How do I orient you to my value as quickly as possible? And that is not one answer for the entire population. Now you're talking about percentages and now you're talking about how do I vet? How do I even build that? And that's what we've done for like the last, not to turn this into a commercial because it's certainly not, but I can tell you that the problem is so big and that I don't feel like people are even looking at the problem to start identifying it. And that's the work that we've tried to do is how do you solve that problem? Because it's not that hard to build the 3 hour sales pitch. It's really not. Like you can, every detail, everything you hook into an emotion and eventually you get there. Getting it down to 5 or 10 seconds to get to an ad that they're willing to click on and get that ad to hook onto a landing page that has so much overwhelming value that they're willing to engage with you to the next phase in a high content saturated environment everything is really fast and they're moving really quickly. Don't you feel like that's almost impossible? I mean, well, on some level.
Yeah. But like you said, and I think this is absolutely right. The first thing that you have to do with people coming in who think, I need more customers, right? That's what starts the whole thing. I need more customers. So they have that thought in their head and they're like, well, I should get some marketing. I should maybe get some advertising, whatever they were going to describe it as. It's all kind of the same thing. And they're like, okay, I'm going to talk to this marketing company and see how they will get me more customers. The first thing you've got to do is just expand their brain into the scope of what they're going to get into. And that's sort of what you're talking about, that early split between monologue, static messaging that you build and shove out into the world and what it's got to do versus that kind of high intensity dialogue, which is, hey, if I can get these people into a hotel room with their kids and use my magic words in conversation, I can get a lot of conversion.
Yeah.
That's very rare that you get people to do that with you.
Yeah, and there's most businesses operate on that monologue-y, I'm going to sell my network, or my network has somebody who thinks I'm interesting because I'm in a genre, and I get these referrals, and then everybody in my network builds my business, and then they can cap out at $1 million or whatever it is that they're doing in revenue. And then you look at the VC side where they need hyper growth, and they look at percentages and numbers that they require. And the more you get into building messaging and the more you realize how much it takes to even clean up messages, it starts to kind of make the VCs more correct, you know, like, oh no, most of these businesses are actually a waste of time. And most of these things that people are trying to do are never going to work. They're strategically out of line.
Right.
And it's really brutal to kind of see that and try and sit in the middle and realize, oh yeah, like even as marketing agencies or even as salespeople, there's always a truth to salespeople is that they only want to sell successful products, right?
Sure. That's absolutely right. That's how you become like known as the great persuader, as you persuade these people.
Yeah. Like the halo effect, you know, man, this guy sold more iPhones than anybody. Really?
Really?
iPhones? No, no kidding. Well, what about that third knocked off brand, you know, built in the basement, really kind of janky, the battery lasts 12 minutes and it's got some good potential. What about that phone? How many of those did you sell?
Right.
You know, and are you that great of a salesman or are you just selling good products?
Well, and I think that's also why when people come in and the base education you have to do, which is the worst time to try to educate people, is when you first meet them. They're not ready for it. They can't tolerate a lot of it. But like, even when somebody comes in, you're like, you don't have your business set up correctly yet in order to market a product that business is creating. And this is something we also, why I used to call you bare knuckle business, Matt, is you would take them back to like, hey, I know what you come here for. Like, you want marketing. Okay. And we do marketing. We would love to sell you marketing, but you don't have a good product yet. So these are business things over here. You don't have enough budget for marketing. Like the business realities that they have to have under control before they should market. You were always just trying to explain to them, you're going to fail because you haven't done the business stuff. And that's why I used to say, you will drag them back. I'm like, look, I'm not going to take your money because I know it's going to fail unless we go back and fix these things.
Right. Yeah. You're 100% correct. That's where I find morality in business. I actually believe in capitalism. I think it's a fantastic model. I think it has, there's a pureness to it and a brutality to it that keeps you aligned to the brutality of the world. You know, if like, it's just, hey man, if it doesn't survive, it dies. Right. If you want it, like in America, if you want to kill something, you kill it with indifference, right? Like that is the, and that ultimately becomes the thing that you're trying to get to punch through. It's like, oh yeah, you don't like that particular brand of like buffet, the Chinese buffet thing that's over there on that particular corner. You don't want to eat it? Just don't go eat there, man. And eventually they'll starve and eventually they'll go away and you get some sort of not satisfaction, but that's like the human experience is like, I don't want that to exist in the world. I'm simply going to ignore it and give it indifference. Well, what does that Chinese buffet have to do in order to get you to like care or even say that, you know, think about how far that one business has to go. And all they're trying to do is feed the world, man, you know, offer a good product at a good price. And here you are out here with your indifference, just killing it day by day, just driving by, driving by, driving by, never going in those doors.
So take us back to, let's do this little case study. Take us back. Somebody walks in or somebody calls 500 Rockets. Hey, I got, you know, my friend talked about you guys. You sound really cool, interesting. You know, tell me about what you do. Like, what is your approach? So give people an idea of like the difference in what 500 Rockets does versus like a big agency in LA or something. Like, what does that mean? Because people, like I said, have so little understanding of what marketing does from a big picture and then the inner mechanics. Tell me, you know, 500 Rockets, what's the approach? Sure.
I make bad jokes often, and the one I would start with is like, I don't even know anymore, you know? Like, who knows what marketing is and who knows what we do? That is a bad joke, and that's not true at all.
That's the point. It's run. There's 5,000 things that are marketing now. So which one do you want to pick?
Yeah. So I would say that we do. I am a very well paid consultant for SEO, pay per click, and conversion optimization projects. So when people come in and they have one of those bigger businesses come in to hire 500 Rockets, some of the biggest brands in the world we've worked with and we work with daily to solve very specific problems. And I always equate that to going into the nuclear reactor and they're all blinking and they need one flip, you know, one switch flip. We've done that. We have that expertise, and that's our technical and marketing.
Right, and
technical.
We're going to do a full episode just on the mechanics of SEO because you have such a deep expertise in it that- right. You know, it's basically it's speaking Googleese. Like how does your messaging speak to the internet correctly?
Yeah. Yeah. Nowadays, if you're a small to medium sized business, which we do a lot of work with, and I really love small business, they always need a disproportionate amount of services and they have disproportionately too few dollars to come in. But I love helping people like try and realize their dreams and navigate in strategic, you know, and I work with those businesses all the time. What I would tell you, the state of marketing overall is this. Tactics have no real value and no profitability. So unless you're doing tactics in a third world country, like you are building a brochure over and over and over, and you are using very cheap labor in order to do that, and you're doing the same thing over, like Fiverr is a good model for that. The tactics themselves have very little profitability and are really... the type of marketing that you should do as cheap as possible anyway. So we don't really consider ourselves tacticians, as even though we do help people tactically execute campaigns and do those things, that's not really the way that we're set up.
Right. So marketing agencies that are basically, we're going to do your grinder work. We're not going to do a bunch of strategy or whatever. We have one thing we do really well, do it over and over again at price. And we're just going to do that for you.
And those marketing agencies thrive. This is just from my anecdotal, you know, experience. If you have a very weird, specific niche or industry that you're in, typically agencies that just serve like that niche is big enough to be big, but not big enough to be huge. And it's kind of like a really narrow thing. And they can kind of do the same repeatable marketing for everybody, almost like commodity level, like they only deal with plumbers or they only deal with the electricians or they only deal with, you know, whatever. I see those marketing agencies as traditional agencies being a little bit more successful and effective because they're not actually re-strategizing the world, right?
They're executing, they're getting enough, you know, boots on the ground to do that strategy. Like the 50 to 100 people that I had come to my doorstep in Austin and saying, hey, we were just down the street replacing windows for your neighbor. Would you like us to give you a quote?
Right.
Same thing. I mean, it was literally 30 different companies. The pitch was exactly the same every time.
100%. Those websites are the same. The SEO is the same. The tactics and the imprint. I often call it like businesses kind of have a stamp. They have a shape of a stamp. You hit them on the paper and they only cover certain parts of the paper. That's like, and they're repeatable. Every time that stamp hits the market, it's going to go. Those agencies tend to do really well. We're not that kind of agency. We can compete in those spaces, but to be honest, we don't really want that kind of mundane, repetitive work because we're more strategic. So when people come to us, typically what we start with is at the very beginning, and we kind of have what we call foundational symbols, and we build your strategy from your foundational symbols out.
Move over just a little. Your window back there is blowing out the... There you go.
How about that?
Block it with your big head.
Oh, nice. Right. So strategically.
We want strategy. We'd like to do more creative approaches. We don't do just clean, repetitive grinder work marketing.
Right. But it's not because that's that's just where we fit in the market, right? So when people need an entire brand built from the ground up, whether they're an existing brand or a new brand, or they're slicing off a new business and they're going after it, we have something we call the content development system, which is every single decision that you need to make. When you look at marketing really close, what you find is death by 1,000 decisions, right? So people get locked up because they can't make decisions, and they're making bad decisions. And then when you make bad decisions, you might as well call the whole thing off.
Yeah, you've just turned off the road down to some weird tributary, and who knows where you're going to end up. But that decision, that's the weird thing about this. There's so many decisions, and every one of them affects all the decisions after it.
Yeah, and it's a really weird time because people will take, your brand or whatever and try and shove it down to tactics. And then, the tactics are the only thing that person has that experience with. So they see your ad on Google, or they see your ad on Facebook or something, and they say, oh, look at that brand. And then they get to the website, but you don't have clarity because you didn't really plan. Oh, I need to get scan level, mid dive and deep dive information. I need to really think about what this end user is going to think, feel, and do, and what I want them to not think, feel, and do when they come to my website. And like, I haven't really planned that from a communication point. And when people actually look at the amount of work that you have to do to even do strategic work, to even make good strategic decisions, you can see why nobody can foresee the future, and why when people look at your whiteboard and they see three products, they can't pick. Because they're not looking at it and slicing it from the right layers. So when people come to us, by and large, we get engaged with, hey, we have this idea, we want to go after it, we want to vet the idea along the way, we want to make really good business decisions. How can we kind of get better sooner, make better decisions quicker, earlier in the funnel? And I think that's where we end up closing a lot of deals, is when we kind of find that mix of people.
Well, I think that blend of mechanization, which is like the ability to track your decisions and your messaging and things like that, the ability to distribute it through a very complicated digital world. And on my side, the creative about keeping it on message.
Yeah,
you know what your winning trigger idea is about that product, then
right,
you know, on that message while it travels through the mechanized digital jungle.
I mean, I think there's a lot of ways to like esoterically talk about what we do, and we probably are too theoretical and it may not resonate with people. So let me say it this way. You worked in Hollywood, and one of the things we did was, Hollywood is ultimately the NFL of content creation. Arguably, it is the mecca of content creation. It creates the highest quality and the highest quantity content in the entire world. We stole all the secret models of how they manage content flow, and we implemented that in business because we were disgusted with how executives kill ideas. So we felt that we needed a system to prevent, and Hollywood has been dealing with that problem since the beginning of time. They've made movies about how executives inject bad ideas into the process. So our system takes all those ideas, and we actually prevent executives from injecting bad ideas by the system itself. That's one of the first things we've done. But the reason why it's valuable is because the output of your system is not one slogan. It's not one sentence that you're going to hang your hat on and that everybody's going to decide. It's 35 slogans, and they're in a file, and you can pull them out when you need them.
And you can build growing.
It's always growing. Have strategic conversations, and then we get 35 more slogans. So then you have 70 slogans or 100 slogans, and then they're all organized by the product, the target, or the concept, or what we call isotopes, right? Triggers, whatever you want to call them, And that's the secret. That's the secret to modern day marketing, is actually being hyper organized and being strategic, so then you can go do your tactics as cheap as possible. Yeah,
the scope of the work is so big, if you let your process, your build process, sprawl at all, you're like doubling the amount of work now. It's not only just figuring how to get through the digital jungle, it's how do you even go find the stuff that you're building in an efficient way so that you can get it into the messaging quickly and go.
That's right. And then when people are like, well, hey, man, that's expensive, or like, that's a hard thing, I'm like, well, no, it's actually more expensive to have to do all your upstream decision-making every time you do a blog post. If you have to invent every single decision you have to make in the content production process, every single time you build an asset, you're in pain. And I'm sorry. I'm sorry you don't have a better system. I'm sorry the schools did not educate us in a more, you know, complete way.
So would you say this is fair to say, okay, think of marketing this way. Here's a message. Okay. It's a little core. It's just a message. It's like, hey, we've got a great, you know, coffee. All right. It's just, it's about coffee. We're trying to sell this coffee. Everybody gets it. That's a product. Everybody's had coffee. They understand. There are thousands of coffees to choose from now. Thousands. They all have different names. They all have different colors. They all have different brand personality. They all have a different story. Oh, we, you know,
Florida, Columbia,
Mountain, and Guyana. We, you know, so you have your coffee, and you've got to build that little swirl around it, the little symbolic swirl that is effective when people hear it. And then you have to get it out. And so my thing is always about, oh, how do we make a cool little symbolic, you know, smoothie here, a little swirly. And then it's like, you're like, great, we got that. Now get ready to spend, because we got to get this thing out into the digital universe a million times.
Right. And that's when that's when the work really starts, because now you have to do it on TikTok and Facebook and Instagram, and you've got to do it on Twitter. And now you've got to do it on your website. And then you got to do it in brochures and go out. And then your audience is changing. Your user base is changing. The complexity of these messages that have to go out is just, it's unfair. It's like, oh my, do we really all talk this much? You know, like, is this really what's going on? My favorite is, I've just gotten on this thing every time I'm like, Netflix doesn't have another movie for me, or I don't have, you know, I've watched all the movies on all my, and I've subscribed to like 15 different content channels. Like, I love to consume content. I mean, there's two types of people. There's creators and consumers, and I am in both. I like to create content, like to do things, but man, do I like to consume vast quantities of it. And I feel like a baby now. I'm like, tell me another story. Tell me this is, give me another story before I go to bed. You know, it's like, we're just babies. Everybody demanding to be told the same stories over and over. It's fascinating.
Well, and I've reached the end of American media. Like, I think I've watched all of it. And now, like, even the big sort of foreign and even alterna I've seen. So now I'm going down into the B and C levels of media. Like, in fact, I'm tracking it just to see. I watched probably most of them all the way through 80 movies in October.
Wow.
And everything from, like, there was this one that I watched the other day. It's called Tony Moreno, and it's from Argentina or Chile. And Saturday Night Fever. So It's disco. This guy becomes obsessed with John Travolta in Chile, but in this dirty, ratty, disgusting, you know, third world life that he's living. And He's trying to win this contest, this look-alike, dance-alike contest, and he can't dance, and he looks nothing like them, but he's putting his whole life into this. And you're like, okay, I'll watch that.
Yeah.
And ultimately, hilarious. It was a pretty horrific movie, but I'm like, yeah, it's kind of fun to watch the way they try to tell this super story.
Yeah.
That is a super story in America. It's a $1 billion+ story.
Yeah.
It launched disco.
Yeah. It's great.
So, I mean, how do you, like, if you're going to sell something, you literally want the super story. You want your messaging to be that powerful. If you're going to sell white leisure suits, that's the way to do it.
It's I find it overwhelming at times, to be honest. And I think that the knowledge and the speed of things that you have to know, you know, we just moved over to a new technology. So one of the things I do is I build software. I mean, we build a lot of software, like a lot of software, and full-time teams of, right now I have 4 people full-time on my team, just building software. And we, you know, you stumble into new technologies and you rebuild software over and over. The secret to software is you just rebuild the same thing 100 times. And we've done that. And we have all these different ideas out there, but this new technology, like all of a sudden it just created like 10,000 pages, like boom, just 10,000, like, you know, like instead, like just think going to WordPress, your WordPress site, and you're typing in a blog or whatever, you know, I created 10,000 pages, like boom.
Yeah. I mean, that's a mechanization win. That's why I've always been fascinated with your side of the world. There's always technologies coming up to answer some of the grind and problem of like creative. Like that, right. How am I going to beat 10,000 pages?
Now, how are you going to do that? Quantity in that area kind of trumps quantity. I mean, quality, right? Quantity trumps quality. And that's a real problem. And it actually creates a problem for Google. And it creates a problem for these other search engines that are trying to deliver you like these development. That's where social media ultimately fits in. It becomes curated, right? And ultimately, when you see like a new technology work where there's like, you know, pre-curation, or it's just naturally curated, or it's getting you through that. You know, I think like what's going on with Reddit right now. Reddit is a just another social network, but it's kind of always been anonymous, and the people who bought it are clearly like they are desperate to de-anonymize Reddit. They are just trying every single CRO trick in the book. They're, hey, use our app, log into our app, like you just use this, like they're desperate for it. And I will not. I refuse. I will die. Reddit will die before it changes what it was for me when I first started using it, which was this really great place of super smart people saying super smart things. That's what I want. And if you deliver that, then you have my attention. If you're delivering super smart people saying super smart things, you're good.
But Reddit makes no money on you, right?
I don't know. That's not my, probably not. They probably don't. But you know what? They could make a ton of money from me, and de-anonymizing me is not the way to do that. You know, the way to do that
is a decision, right? That's where we go back to, hey, I know what you're doing, but you're using these standardized business thought. And what you really need to think of is this, like, where's the real win here for you with this audience? Like you're right. A particular type of consumer, and they could win with you if they made a business decision that was different.
Yeah, no, I'm a very good consumer for them to have. Like the fact that I'm on their platform and want to discuss ideas and want to have that kind of relationship with other people, I think is ultimately, you know, there's a lot of people like me, and most of them tend to be professional driven. They tend to have decent jobs. They tend to have high education status, and you can just see them imploding it from afar. You're like, oh yeah, you're ruining this. You don't get it, you know?
Well, staying on this idea of general advice for people who are looking for a marketing agency, tell me why you think marketing fails.
I mean, we've seen a lot of failure, right? We've seen, I don't want to say incompetence, because I think people are always trying to do their best, and there's really smart people doing really smart things in really stupid situations. And I think that people have different tolerances for loss and risk. You know, marketing fails at the end of the day because you don't really find product to market fit is a big problem.
So when you say that, people don't actually want your product.
Yeah, they don't want it. And they don't want it in its configuration. And you don't want to do what's necessary to get the product to the place that they would want it.
But those are business things. That's not the marketing failure. That's, hey, you got a bad product. It doesn't fit the market. Like if you have a decent product, let's say, and you come into a marketing agency, where is the failure? Because it does fail over and over again. People end up changing marketing agencies constantly because they're like, ah, they're not performing. They gave us the wrong advice, whatever.
I would argue a couple things. I think if you're looking at a bigger business, like a middle to medium-sized business, you know, they're doing 5 million plus in revenue. Maybe they have more revenue, but you know, they're in a competitive space, so they don't have a lot of margin, but they have good revenue because there's lots of demand. Most businesses like that are failing because they haven't properly documented their business decisions from a marketing point of view. I think that's where we see And that's not to like pump up the content development system, but that the reason why we even created that was because of that. Just they're going into campaigns and they don't have all of the slogans that they built for a product in one place. They don't have short form
communication. Their communication process is broken. They can't pump out tons of really great messaging, fast, cheap, that kind of stuff, because they haven't documented.
They haven't documented the decision making and the strategy side of like why those decisions are made and what they're trying to do. And so the outcomes of that strategy as it turns to tactics has to be reinvented every single campaign cycle.
So it becomes incredibly inefficient and really ineffective.
Yeah, and ultimately it becomes ineffective, and then it can't be passed on from person to person, right? Like, it's just like the wrestler trying to tag team his buddy to come in and help save him. It's like he just misses the tag, you know? You just can't, if you're not past all of these strategic decisions that have happened, you're not going to be able to look, you can't recontextualize the analytics. You can't go back and say, okay, well, we ran these campaigns for these reasons. You know, was that a failure or was that not a failure? And are we able to contextualize what actually happened when we spent those dollars? So I see a huge part of marketing failing because people are not thinking of long-term enough in how they're building their brand. And it's because they're probably so fluid that these things are changing so quickly. But if you can force yourself to slow down and document even those changes as they come along, you start to get this picture that you didn't, you know, you're really, most of the time in business, you are circling around a problem. And all of the changes that you're making are really pivoting to try and still fit into that door. You're still trying to get the same key into the lock, right? You're just changing decisions. And so your product may change drastically and you may feel like you've lost everything. But the reality is that that's not true. You're actually building a picture of what's going to work and what's not going to work. So marketing fails in the front end because you just haven't documented your decisions. I think in general, marketing fails because of decisions. If you're looking for like a one word answer, it's because of decisions, because you aren't making good upstream decisions. You are making upstream decisions. You're changing them downstream. You're not documenting those decisions at all. You're getting locked up. You're pushing things off. You're trying to get input from other people. You're asking idiots whether or not something is good or not, as opposed to like really trusting and building a culture that can be proud of the quality that's coming out of it. Quality is something that comes from the inside of the organization, you know,
right?
You don't go buy quality. Like that's not how, oh, I want quality marketing. I'm going to go purchase that. That is not for sale. That is not, there's a lot of people who say, oh, I do the best market, but you know, there's always things that you're not doing. If you go buy the best strategy, well, you know, I'm sure they're going to give you something that's values driven. That's very Apple-y, you know? And it's not going to have any tactics to kind of capture those leads, or you're not going to have any money left over for the distribution, or, you know, getting kind of capturing those.
Value. Would you also point to unrealistic expectations about budget?
I mean, money is always like, that's the easy answer. Nobody ever comes to marketing. Everybody's like, oh yeah, well, you know, what can I do for $2,500, you know? And $2,500 or $5,000 is a lot of money. It's a lot of money. And the problem that I've seen in business and why we always end up going to some level of bare knuckle consulting on business is that, you know, you're probably, if you like, my experience has been when you are building a business, all of it is just kind of fun and games until you have to start marketing. It's exciting and people are like, oh my God, your idea is so good.
And it's all hope. It's all promise. There's no reality in your face of, hey, why isn't my wonderful thing selling?
That's right.
It goes back to that same phrase of, hey, I need to sell my stuff, you know?
Yeah. So take your, you know, we always say that the hardest thing you do in marketing is getting your value down to 3 or 4 words, right? How can I explain and orient you to my value in 3 words or less, 4 words or less, talking to your target audience so that it orients and makes sense to them? If you can do that, then you're going to win. In marketing, it's failing. Okay, go put up those 3 or 4 words that you currently have on a billboard that costs $6,000 a month. You know, is that going to get it done? Because I can tell you, watching that $6,000 a month go out the door without any of those phones ringing is devastating.
Right.
devastating. Well,
I think about even our challenges. You know, we're a very small agency. We do a lot of different things. And like to me, like my billboard, if we're going to spend our $6,000 a month, that's only one location for the billboard.
Yeah, one.
You need, you know, 20 around the city or whatever.
Thousands of different indifferent cars, right? Just right. Indifference, indifference at 80 miles an hour, you know?
Yeah, 20,000 cars. And then maybe somebody goes, oh, what's that?
Oh, what's that? It doesn't make any sense to me. I don't get it.
But even if our billboard just said, we have figured out modern marketing. Great. That to me is like, okay, that is what that if we're pulling out ingot phrases about our business, hey, we figured out modern marketing. And you've come in here, we're going to tell you what it is. Like incredibly dense environments, takes a lot of money to get, you know, messages distributed, takes a lot of money to create quality messages. Sorry, that's it. Anything else is really not the true answer.
Yes, I would tell you that's a really bad business.
Why? Because it's so expensive.
Yeah, your advice is we put up a billboard for $6,000 a month, and everybody that comes in, we say it's really expensive. I'm like, yeah, that's not going to close. You know.
Well, right, but that's when you talk about sort of bare knuckling and you know sort of dig down into claims. Like everybody makes the easier claims, which is we'll help you create great marketing. Right? You could actually have that as the billboard, right? 500 Rockets will help you create great marketing.
Yeah.
Much easier. And we don't hit you right away with expense.
Sure.
But what we would want to do under our system is write 25 of those little slogans, put them up on a bunch of billboards, test it, and see where we get our triggers.
That's right. And in some ways, you can do, if you think about marketing being expensive and you have a reasonable budget, I always think whatever you've budgeted for marketing, it needs to be 10x bigger. That's probably whatever your number, like I asked you, what's your number for marketing? You're like, oh, it's this. Multiply that by 10. And that's probably what your competitors, the winning people are in the market are spending, right? So that's probably what it takes in order to sustain the system that they've built underneath them. What you can do in digital marketing that has never been done before is you can test those billboards cheaper than you've ever been able to test them. You can get numbers on those behaviors. Hey, did this inspire somebody to click through? And you can see what's winning and losing instantly, almost overnight. And I think the scary part about that is that that's what the people with big dollars are doing.
Right. You're fighting against that level of testing, that quantity of testing.
Right. I mean, even if you think about, you know, there's a controversial author who, yeah, I won't comment on, you know, why and all that stuff, but he wrote Chaos Monkeys. I think he got into some trouble. He got, because I think he's kind of whatever he was. He was just in, you know, whatever in the cancel culture world he was in there. But it's hard to deny that his book is not interesting and that he's not a, I don't want to say pretentious or pompous writer, but the guy has clearly mastered many parts of the English language. When I read his book, I was blown away by his ability to articulate things. I had never read somebody like that. He talks a lot about Facebook and what it was like to be a product manager at Facebook and do all these things. And in that, he gave some anecdotal stories, which I think is happening around conversion optimization at all of the big companies around the world, which is they have hundreds and hundreds of millions of hits to run A/B tests on that you don't have, right? So on their website right now for free, Amazon can test, does this line on the page being 2% brighter or 2% less bright make a difference to conversion rate? And they can get an actual answer to that. That's unbelievable. The power that they have to stay in first place is you can't compete.
Micro-pico testing that just, you know, they can test 500 places in that page. Right. It's incredible.
In different countries, in different genres, they can break people down to like, oh, these are high context people. These are low context people. Well, you know, I'm going to sell to Germans this way. I'm going to sell to Latin America this way. And they're going to want more things around their products because they want, you know, they're family oriented or they're more geared towards decision making with other people's opinions and whatnot. And the Germans just want this price or this thing, and they want it very basic. And what are the features and what are the benefits? Just even on that way to like break out how to sell a product, they can test it to a certainty.
I can feel how much you admire that, how much you want that capacity as a marketing guy.
I find it fat. I mean, doing the work is painful, you know, because you're setting up all these things. And to be honest, there's quite a bit of shoddy science, and the ignorance in the market is really the small man's feather in his cap, because there's just a lot of people who are taking these tools and inferring things that they shouldn't be inferring. But failing forward, which we always say, like failing up the hill, those companies tend to fail up the hill. You know, their tests may not be totally accurate, but the idea that they're even doing testing or considering user experience, considering sequencing, considering psychology and how to vet and how to get these ideas to be persuaded, by and large, in mass, even with ignorance injected in, they tend to fail forward.
Well, and I will say this. Ultimately, this is how I have sold you to people in my network or people who talk to me about what I do.
Yes.
And this is why, like, I have no problem with saying Bare Knuckle Matt, or, hey, you know, Matt's a flavor. You're going to get Matt's authenticity. You're going to get his honesty. He's going to tell you the answers, the right answers. But to me, like, the tagline I use with you is Matt suggests attached to the right answer. Like, he doesn't care who gives it. He doesn't care how long it takes. He doesn't care. He wants fast answers like that. I mean, what you're talking about is that much testing gives very reliable answers to very specific questions. And for a marketer, that's the best thing you can offer somebody. Hey, we are not just selling you pie in the sky, or we think, or something we know will convert you. It's, hey, we're going to Sherpa you through modern marketing, and you're going to see 50,000 decisions around you. And we're going to say, hey, we're going to test this one because we think it's a really good option. And you're going to give that to people. When they walk through the door, you're like, that's why you're here. I'm going to give it to you. I'm not just going to move everything around in a shell game to keep you paying.
That's like, right.
Let's try that. Let's try that answer.
Right. Yeah, that's 100% correct. I appreciate you selling me like that, because that's exactly what you're going to get. I don't want to come off the wrong way. I generally love people, and I generally want to do the best for people. I always feel kind of bad when I come off as like some tough guy. I'm not tough at all. I don't have like some wisdom. I
business.
Just hate.
Like me, it's not about being tough against people. You're tough because business is tough. You're like, this is a very difficult world. Let's take our best shot at winning it.
It's killing. It's brutal. It's literally, it's barbarian, right? It's like, it's yeah, it's really intense. And you've got to match that intensity if you want to play and you want to compete. And I hope that's why people hire me, is because they want me on that team.
Well, and that is why they hire you. I've seen it over and over again, because you come in like, may think of it this way. Like when we said barbarian hordes, I thought of the Great Wall of China, you know, and here's all the, you know, the people on the wall with their bows and arrows and all these hordes coming at them. And you're the guy that walks up and goes, you know what? How about a crossbow? Like, I've designed this new crossbow and this technology, and suddenly they can take out 50 more, you know, barbarian hordes. You're the technology answer that all the creators are like, oh, I'm working hard. And like, hey, let me tweak this here for you. And that's why you come in as a sort of secondary, you know, expert, and the creators and the business people are like, oh my God, he can actually do the tech.
Yeah. Yeah. I can, you can see in my shed here, my tech shed, but I do love the tech. I do help cut through that, and things are moving so quickly that everybody is ultimately, as we get more narrow, there's a consolidation of problem solving. So the problems that you need solved are actually being solved faster and faster and faster in front of you. And you kind of have to know which wave to jump on and which one to ignore. At some point, you still have to do the work and you have to get the thing done. I think where we've offered the most value has been kind of like putting people into some of these systems that we've spent the last 5 years building at the PhD level, which are really smart and really sophisticated. And when people come to us and they actually do have they've got some chips to shove in the middle, and they can put a system together, and they need to compete in this chaos, I think that's our most successful. I think we help people at all levels of the spectrum. I think we can help people temporarily. I think we can help people long-term. We have a lot of long-term customers who just like, we've just kind of do things out and just kind of find a rhythm with and work with. But when people just say, hey, go do it and like use your system and maximize it. And we sit on top as that executive producer and we run the show and we're able to like generate outcome, whether it be high quantity content, which I think is one of my favorites in terms of producing results. If you want to see your like your numbers go from the bottom left to the upper right, and you're sitting at the top and you are like, you are going to be fired if you do not get that graph to go from the bottom left to the upper right. I can tell you the answer is high quantity, high quality. And it doesn't matter what channel you're doing, whether it's social or it's SEO and content production or information based. It doesn't matter what thing you're doing. The answer is high quality, high quantity. And when yes. you get that around, when the big businesses understand that and realize, oh, maybe I don't need to be spending 50 grand a month on 10 billboards anymore for a brand message. Maybe what I need to be doing is spending that 50 grand a month producing as many pieces of content that we can put together. That's when the systems that we've built, already built, that other businesses are realizing that they're even having to build now, are like, oh man, that's the thing that we need. We've really built, pre-built the Henry Ford production line of content creation, knowing that the North Star is two things. It's quantity. And the problem with quantity is what? You increase quantity and quality goes down, right? Anybody can do quantity. It's just not very good. So how do you maintain quality with a high production yield? And that's, I think, if we had a magic bullet, that will probably, you know, if we had a magic bullet, that would be it. We know how to do high quality and we know how to do quantity.
Yeah. And I think what we're going to do going forward is probably a little shorter versions. Like this is a general introduction to the way we do marketing. We're going to do maybe 30-minute bullets on like budget or high quality, high quantity, or, you know, all these little things, these little sub areas, which if people, again, understand when they come into a marketing agency, they can get a better idea of everybody's like, oh, I'm being cheated by this marketing agency. And that's a natural thought because you don't really understand what they're doing. All the client really sees is what kind of messages are coming out, how fast, and are they getting results? Yeah. And you need to see the mechanisms that you're paying for so that you can make decisions, you know, that don't impede that mechanism, you know, but also get you the results that you want. So we'll come back around a lot of this stuff that we tagged on real quick. And, you know, I just think it's, I've been fascinated for the last 5 years. We've been working together on this stuff to see how big the universe is and how every time you reach over and take a big, you know, chomp out of this, you're like, ah, we got this kind of over here and we can sell this. And suddenly the market shifts and you're like, oh, that doesn't work anymore.
Yeah. Well, that's a brutal fact of it. We should do a 30-minute thing on decision-making.
Oh, for sure. There's so much.
I think people, I don't know if people would enjoy that or not, but I do think it would be interesting to document just bad decision. Like what are the factors of bad decision-making and some of these things that come in and like what environments create that? Because I don't think people know.
No, they don't. And even if you back it up to the stage before decision-making, it's information. Like if you have great information, decisions are pretty easy.
Yeah, no, they're easy.
Whoever has great information, so decisions are incredibly hard.
Yeah, most people can pick the top five best slogans out of a list of 20. Most people agree. Like when you get them all out on the paper, they're like, oh yeah, these are the best five. And they're easy. Like that's easy. Oh, I can see greatness. It's that one. Oh, really? But could you make it?
Right. No, point you choose, it? People can recognize, they just can't create. And we'll talk about this in the information episode, but like, have you ever looked at a horse racing form?
Yeah. My grandfather was a horse racer.
Yeah. And if you're not in that world, you might as well be looking at Arabic. But right. If you talk to somebody who's in that world, they're decoding this information. Like, and so they know where to put bets. You don't know where to put bets. Ultimately, they may win. They probably win more, but ultimately, you know, it's still random and, you know, you still got all that to deal with. But like knowing that the information theory that gets you to be able to make a decision versus most people going to a horse racing form when they've never been to horse racing, like, oh, that's a cool name.
Nice. Yeah, no, it's and then you're like, by the end of it, you're like, why is the same jockey running on all these different horses? And why does he tend to win the most?
And a lot of people use that. They'll just bet on the jockey all day long. But then everybody starts doing that and the odds go to, you know, to help.
Well, now that I know more about horse racing, I'm fairly sure that you should go with the one that's on the most steroids.
Yeah, well, that's the other thing. You don't have that information.
Right.
If they said, hey, he's on these drugs today, you'd probably be like, oh.
He was on these drugs before. His legs are looking a little weak. He may break one today. Yeah.
Good piece Brutal. Of information. We'll come back around to it. Well, it's been super fun. I wanted to drag you on here for a while because...
Thanks for having me.
You know, I do the esoterics of persuasion, and so many people out there are doing the nuts and bolts. And that's what this is. People need to pay you to get their messages into the world in a nuts and bolts way. And yeah. We keep dragging them back into esoteric first, but ultimately it's a nuts and bolts business.
Yeah, we're inherently theoretical, which I think drives a lot of people nuts. But I think if you stick around long enough, you hear that it is rooted in real solid execution theory. Right. And like, that's where we mix college professor versus guy. Like, I had none of the theoretical stuff. I was just all like, okay, let's do this tactic and like jam forward. And we've really found a good mix been working on the strategic side.
Awesome. Well, appreciate you jumping on. We'll come back around a lot. I've done a bunch of these with my ex-professor or my ex-dissertation director, Dave Payne, over in rhetoric. I'm going to do a bunch of them with you over here because you're so stuck in this world. You've been trudging through these different business worlds for so long that I'm like, man, this guy has experience or background in everything that we run into at some level. Like, oh yeah, I dealt that with it back when I sold Dell computers. Like,
yeah. Right.
Okay.
Awesome. Good stuff. Right. Hope everybody. Yep. Thanks.
Cool. That's been the Rhetoric Warriors podcast. Get out there and persuade some people. As always, they need it.